I remember, the first time that we met, I was on the phone. I was traveling to California. You were trying to get a hold of me to have a role in the face-to-face for the I Group
That's
world.
right.
And I called you and we had a great conversation. And you ran, from my judgment, the best one we've ever had in terms of organized. And
Well, thank you.
we obviously burned you out because you hadn't done enough of that. Or maybe we inspired you to do the other things you've done. I don't know.
It was fun. It was a kind of a project with a beginning of the and an end, which is sometimes really nice.
Yeah.
And I got to make a lot of great connections with people, and the event itself was fun and it went well, so I was happy.
Yeah, great. All right. So I'm really grateful that you agreed to come and share yourself with us and get to know us better and us to get to know you a little bit better. So again, thanks for being willing to be here with us. So if we could start out by just when did you do the weekend? And just a little bit about that piece. What got you to do
Sure.
that?
Yeah. So I've been in men's groups since I was about 22 years old, and I lived in Northern California for 30 years. And the men's group I was in there, we got together when our kids were in preschool, and we went all the way through when our kids were out of the house. We were together for 16 years, and then my wife and I moved to North Carolina, and I was looking for a men's group. So I Googled Asheville men's group, and MKP came up, and I'd never heard of it. So I asked some of my men's group guys if they knew about MKP, and one of them said he had a couple of friends who had done the weekend, and they said it had changed their life. So that was good enough for me. So I signed up, and 2 weeks after I moved here, and this is in 2011, I got in a car with a bunch of strangers and went and did my weekend in Reidsville, North Carolina. And damn, it changed my life.
So talk to me a little bit. It sounds like you got interested because you just heard about it. There wasn't anything driving internally that you
Right.
weren't in some crisis or any of that, but you had been in work of, growing yourself up, and they heard this. You heard about this and did it. What I just heard was that you say that it changed your life. How say more about that. What changed inside?
Sure. Yeah, so in all the years that I've sat in men's groups, it was about men supporting each other, men being vulnerable, men opening up. And that was really powerful for me for many years. What MKP did is, to me, it felt like it took it to another level. And a lot of that was through the technology it had, the protocols we use, accountability and clearing, and the processes we use for carpet work. So it was exciting for me that men had a technology to really go deeper and to do the work consistently on a deeper level. That was very exciting to me. And I remember I came out of the weekend, and they say, just let it percolate for a few days. Don't talk about it. And I got home and I couldn't shut up. I sat on the front porch with my wife, and I was like, oh, and we did this, and then we did this, and there were so and so. So diving deeper was very exciting for me, and having tools to use was very exciting for me. So I've jumped all over that since then.
So it sounds like you were kind of surprised that you were enchanted to go, and then you came away deepened and sort of surprised about all these other pieces that you didn't know were around.
Yeah, I was surprised. I went into the weekend thinking, I kind of know this stuff, and this is a way to connect with men. So I was surprised at all the what felt like new openings for me.
So how did you, most of us go after the weekend, or in my case, I was in a open I group before I went through the weekend, but came back afterwards to an I group. You said that you were in men's groups already. Did you just keep with those groups, or did you integrate into some other I groups, or did you bring this project into those groups? How did you interface that?
Yeah, well, I had just moved from California to North Carolina, so I didn't have a men's group here. Oh. So immediately after the weekend, I started attending I groups in the Asheville area. And Asheville has a fairly large community, so we have multiple I groups that all meet together. They start together on Wednesday night. So I immediately stepped into a group of 20 to 30 men at that time, and very quickly became part of a community and part of an I group. And yeah, I've been doing that since.
So I haven't heard that about this much, but so maybe you can explain that. I love the idea that there's separate I groups that come together and start together and then go off in their groups. Is that what I heard you say? In the Asheville, that's how they do it?
Yeah.
So how do you start?
Yeah, at this point in Asheville, usually over 50 men show up on Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
And so what we do is we circle up outside. We may do some ritual. We have a business round. We sit around, announcements. And then that takes up to about a half hour. And then we break up into individual I groups. And on any one night, there might be, you know, five or six I groups that meet in different rooms of the site.
Uh-huh.
So it creates a sense of community, which is really nice.
Yeah, and it must from there, you must be able to do more community events because you have the whole body to kind of generate it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we do.
Wow, so you said also...
Yeah, well, we did the Better Dads Festival a few years ago, and it was, you know, men and women from the Asheville community that really helped make that happen. So, and that community was responsible for that. So
share with me a little bit about that festival. I know you had it for a couple of years anyway. Share with me about how that came about. Was that your idea?
Yeah, it was my idea. And initially it came about from loving the work that we do in MKP, but feeling a separation between us and the larger Asheville community. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to find a way to bring it into the community, maybe to even, you know, have more prominent branding of MKP in the community. And then working with a core group of supporters and mentors, it also in the development became about more about inclusion and bringing in various elements of the community, of the larger Asheville community, to increase the exposure around diversity. So we started connecting with minority communities, the Cherokee community, the Black community, the Hispanic community, and the GBT community in the greater Asheville area, and started bringing those organizations in. And, you know, we chose a dance festival just because, you know, that's a good thing for men to do. Mm-hmm. It was really mostly about bringing community together around the work that men can do. That's really what it was about. And it was about family. So the first year we did it, we probably had about 1,000 attendees, and we had all sorts of different activities and music and, you know, and booths. So a lot of information about MKP, and we had women from Women Within working with us. And it was very exciting. You know, we didn't really know what we were doing, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then I was actually out of town next year. Tim Chumley took over as the director of the festival the following year.
Uh-huh.
And then this last year, we actually had a pastor from the Black community reach out to, because he was interested in doing something for fathers from his community in that time slot. And we ended up not having a festival, but we're beginning to look into what we can do together to support some of the dads in prison in our community.
Oh,
so
wow.
There's cool things coming out of it.
Yeah. Well, I just want to acknowledge your visionariness around this, because what we need more and more of is the modeling of what, you know, good dads are, good men look like, and the ways to get there. We're certainly on the firing line right now, and we've certainly earned ourselves there for the most part. But having a way for men to find themselves to their better way, and also how to highlight men who are doing their work. So thanks for doing that, Mark. Boy, great.
Oh, thanks for saying that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, to me, one of the biggest lessons in all of this is, like, you can dream anything and make it happen. I mean, or I can dream anything and make it happen. And it's just a matter of bringing people in for support and let's do this together. But I mean, one of the things that I've learned really more in more recent years is anything really is possible.
Yeah. And I, again, I'll appreciate you one more time. Modeling that for all of us, it's, I believe very much what you say in my life is really around that. If you can dream it, you can live it. And there's that distance between dreaming it and stepping out into it. And that's difficult. But I'll tell you, once you step, it doesn't take a big step. There's a power from the passion inside that really wants that dream to come out. So thanks for modeling that. As long as we're on this creative part of yourself, there's this train station. I'm hearing a little bit about this. It's something you put out regularly. It's, can you share what that is? It's something now that you...
Yeah, yeah. I volunteered to be one of the, at the time, was the multicultural representatives for the Greater Carolinas area a couple of years ago, starting in January of 2018. And the idea I had going into that was to create a newsletter around multicultural issues, mm-hmm. Mostly to push men a little bit, to teach, to push, to kind of bring that edge in. Mm-hmm. And then also to make men aware of what kind of activities are going on in the community that they can participate in for multicultural learning and, you know, social justice. And so I've put out 16 issues now, and it's, you know, usually it's monthly, and with, I've had the summers off, but it's usually monthly, and every issue has a certain focus. Most of the months have been a focus on one of the isms. Uh-huh. So it's been an issue on multicultural work, an issue on racism, on sexism, on anti-Semitism, on Islamophobia. And then I recently did an issue on gateways and what their value is, why we do those in the project.
I'm definitely going
to. Yeah. I mean, you know, to be perfectly honest, one of the big reasons I do this is it helps me be on my learning cutting edge. Yeah. So in putting these together, I do a lot of reading and a lot of research, and, you know, I learn there as much as I do in the different trainings that I participate in. So I've really enjoyed it.
Do you publish that in the Greater Carolinas, or where do you publish it?
Well, I started off just sending it to the Greater Carolinas chat list. Mm-hmm. And since then, other people have expressed an interest. So I started sending it to the Equitable Community area representatives. And now I send it to the leader body, several leader body V groups. And there's some people from different areas that have asked me to send it to them as well. I recently got an email from Boysen asking how we can send this out on a more national basis. And my response was, you know, that's what you do, Boysen. You know, you figure out how, and I'll supply the material. So
great. Well, your permission, I'm going to promote that so that we can get that. I think you just need to send it to Boysen, and then we can get it published in the national piece. I'd love that. So I'm glad you're willing to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sweet. Sweet. So talk to me. We talked earlier together, but tell me a little bit about Gateway. I know that that chair-elect Donovan Ray just came back from a Gateway. And just was on fire. And so tell me, and you told me that you came away from the Gateway with some learnings for yourself. Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Sure, sure. Yeah, so we just had the first ever barrier-free Gateway NWTA. And this really came out of several years of effort. My understanding, it was initiated, the idea was initiated by Art Patterson, mm-hmm. who is a man who has a disability as well as being a member of other target minority groups. But he had the vision to create a gateway for men with different abilities than able-bodied men. And he stuck with this, and he got some support. And so we actually, the initial plan was to put this on last October, I think it was, but we didn't have enough initiates signed up. So we regrouped, we kind of started over and made some really powerful efforts to create a staff container and to do some outreach. And so at one point we had 35 men, 35 initiates signed up for the weekend. A number of them had to drop because of medical and logistical issues. So we ended up having 20 men show up for the weekend. And it was a, it really was, for me, a very unique experience. And I've been on a few other gateways before. I've been on some Young Warrior gateways. I've been on GP2 gateway. And for me personally, this one felt somewhat different. It felt, in a way, it felt more challenging, and it felt like we really broke through those challenges and honored the container of men with disabilities, and honored the allyship of the able-bodied men, and then brought those two containers together. And you know, the other thing for me too that I mentioned before is I've been hard of hearing for over 20 years, and I wear hearing aids. And this is the first time in my life that I allowed myself to be part of that disabled community, to kind of acknowledge that that's part of who I am. And for the first time to not feel that it was my fault that I couldn't hear men in certain situations and be able to ask for what I wanted. So it was great. I mean, there were, you know, I freely admit that there are certain people with disabilities that I have fear around. I fear that I don't know how to communicate with them. I don't know how to connect with them. Mm-hmm. And on this weekend, we just took the time to make that happen. Wow. And it was delightful. It was lovely. Making those connections and stepping past that fear and honoring the gifts that men with different physical challenges bring to the table. And it was beautiful. It really was.
Wow. Wow. What comes out of the original 35 years ago warrior training is just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. And this is another example of that. So you said in the beginning that it changed your life, going through the weekend changed your life. How do you see that now, after the number of years that it's been since then? How do you see that effective change in your life showing up for you internally? We can all hear what's going on externally, and that's awesome. But internally, what do you see? What do you feel?
Well, the biggest change for me has to do with my family. So I'm married, I have three children, and all those children have partners. And since I started doing this work, all of those people have done this work, either through MKP or some other organization, but all of them have committed to personal transformational work, to be authentic, feeling, emotionally intelligent people. And when I look at just my own family and I see the healing that's taken place for me and for members of my family, and I look at the family that I grew up in, and to see the healing in just one generation, the shift in one generation, it humbles me, and I'm very grateful that I've had the opportunity to be part of that.
Yeah. Thanks,
man. And I know, you know, after I'm gone, they're still going to be living that way and living those values and that authenticity.
Yeah.
There's no greater blessing for me.
Great. Well, thanks for being willing to sit with me and share yourself so vulnerably and so openly. I'm touched by all that you've shared, particularly really seeing from the beginning how this has effectively changed your life, and really what you're sending forward as a result of that with your family, the legacy that you've created. And the legacy that you've created is grounded also in MKP, and I want you to hear loud and clear how grateful I am and we all are for the things that you keep creating and keep doing that really keeps us alive, keeps us in touch with what our dreams might be and our experiences might be. Because these things that you're doing outwardly and the way you're doing them and the openness in the way you're doing them inspires us. It inspires me. It makes me happy to be in the role I'm in, to know that there's men around me showing me the way and showing me why I'm here when I sometimes forget. So thanks so much, Alan, for being here for all of us. I'm grateful.
Thank you, Paul. That means a lot to me. You know, sometimes I send things out there and don't know how they're being, if or how they're being received. And so it's good to get some feedback once in a while. So thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome.